urgency than maybe we have at other times. Last Sunday night at the close of our prayer meeting, Brother Greg Gilpin recommended that we read the prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. And I'm sure that many of you have read it before, he called my attention to it and all of us. And then Brother Bowman decided that he wanted to turn to Daniel chapter 9 for Sunday school today. And I'm also going to read and just issue a challenge today to us all to pray like Daniel prayed. To pray like Daniel prayed. And I won't read the entire prayer here in the ninth chapter of Daniel, but I will read just a few select verses here from the book of Daniel chapter 9, and I'll start reading in verse number 3. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and the dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. And I'm going to skip down to verse 20, and of course you can read this on your own, but I'm just going to move on down to verse number 20. It says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And I'll stop reading right there. This text reveals the fact that Daniel receives an answer and a message directly from the messenger Gabriel. And that message was, you're highly favored. In heaven, you are favored. You're highly favored before God. And Daniel had a very special position from which he was able to pray a powerful prayer. We've all read the scriptures that deal with the fact that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And another version of that verse is just the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We know that that's true. We know that from the position of the character and the righteousness of Daniel, he was able to pray powerful prayers. And he's known all through the book of Daniel for his praying. And it's really the number one character quality that Daniel had. If we could say anything about him, we could say Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. And he was also, he's really the only character in the scripture, even compared to Moses, Joshua, David. You can list all these various wonderful people of God, but Daniel is one that is not mentioned. One flaw in his character is mentioned. That his character seems nothing. I'm sure that he wasn't a perfect man, but nothing is mentioned about anything in his character. His character is really revealed as impeccable. That's the kind of a person that he was. And so as a result, he is the best Bible example for us of a man who prayed and prayed with power and prayed with conviction. His prayer was heard, his prayer was received, and the message that was sent back to him that he was highly favored, that he was blessed of the Lord. He was known in heaven because of the prayer, his prayers that were so powerful and effective. Daniel's prayers were so powerful that he was able to change not only the Babylonian Empire, but all of the Persian Empire, the next empire that stepped in. He was probably only 16 or 17 years old when he was stolen away into captivity. And just as it describes all the things that were stolen, the precious jewels and the various items that were taken out of the temple, and they took those things and they placed them in their own temples to their pagan gods. They took all of the vessels and all of the wealth of the temple and used it in worship, to desecrate it, to worship their pagan gods. And really, Daniel and the other young people that were with him, they too were just chosen and pulled out of the crowd of the slaves because of there was just something special about them. You could say it was their youth. You could say it was that they were handsome in their looks. I'm sure many of those qualities were important, but there was just something special about them that they were pulled aside and pulled into the king's palace and given an unbelievable opportunity even in their captivity. And that's exactly what happened to Daniel, that he was brought in as just a teenager. And no doubt the pressure would have been on. If he wouldn't have been brought into the palace, then he would have been like in the other slaves. He would have been abused, mistreated, and probably just nothing but hard labor and difficulty his whole life. But he has an opportunity. He's brought into the temple, and he's chosen. And they are given different names. They are offered a different diet. And they are part of a very special group of young people that has been handpicked because now they are going to serve the kingdom of Babylon. And that's where they have been positioned to serve in that place. Can you imagine the pressures that are on a young person? Do you know what we do? We would probably say if someone succumbed to temptation and just gave in, we would probably offer excuses. Well, they were just so young, they couldn't hold up. Or we would offer maybe other excuses, not only their age, but just the pressure of the situation that they were in. They were put into a situation where they had such opportunity. Peer pressure was so powerful that they succumbed to that. But that wasn't Daniel at all. As a matter of fact, Daniel came into this situation, and I believe that him, along with his other brethren, they looked at it, they considered it, and they came to a conclusion. And that conclusion was, we are going to serve our God. We're going to serve our God. And so we know that righteousness is really the platform whereby we are able to get anywhere with God. Many times we just go along our life and living kind of a casual life. Then we get in trouble, and suddenly we begin to send up prayers. Oh, God, rescue me. Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, help me. We may live after our own, heart, our own desires, live after the things of this life, after the things of the world. Then we get into crisis, and we start sending up prayers. Oh, God, deliver me from all of this. And sometimes God, in His mercy, hears and answers the prayer, even in our desperation, even though we haven't really been given God the time of day. But God shows mercy and forgives us and comes to our rescue. But I want to pray that kind of a prayer. Daniel's prayers were powerful prayers. Daniel's prayers completely changed the course of the nation. He went into a pagan nation that was this massive empire. And how could he have ever known that God was positioning him to change and turn the direction of an entire culture and have an impact upon an entire culture? But that's where God placed him. I want us all to be reminded of the fact that even as individuals, you may feel like that you don't have much to offer. You may feel like that there's not really, your prayers are not going to make a difference. But the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. God saw Daniel down there in that place. Even though he's in captivity, even though the whole nation of Israel is under judgment, yet God saw his righteousness. He saw the righteousness and the character of Daniel. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. He hears the prayers of those who are righteous. It's the prayer of the righteous that has power. It's the prayer of the righteous that has effectiveness. It gets the job done. The prayer of the righteous. It's from that standing. It's from that position that we're able to pray with power. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let me just mention a few things about Daniel and who he was. And if you want to pray like Daniel prayed, then you're going to have to adapt the same character of Daniel. The first thing I want to mention is that Daniel made up his mind to obey God. He made up his mind to obey God. It didn't matter what anyone was going to do. He understood, even though he was a young person, I believe that he understood that there was a good chance that he was going to lose his life that day. I'm convinced that he had this crisis hour, and he had to decide, am I going to give in? Am I going to go the way of Babylon? Am I going to go give in to their diet, to their what? Or am I going to honor the law of God, my commitment to God, and then face the consequences? And I don't know how long it took him to come to the conclusion, but it just simply says that he came to that place. The Bible says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel was in the circumstance that no doubt he had a lot of opportunity. It looked like, oh, I can really be in luxury. I can really escape the pressures. But he knew that there was the chance that his life could be taken, or at the very least that he would be pushed out of the palace and to serve as a common slave. But God has positioned him in the palace for a purpose and a reason. And he decided, he purposed in his heart, he committed himself, and he made up his mind, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to obey God, no matter what comes. It was that kind of conviction that was a part of his platform for prayer. It's what gave him strength. His strength of character, his determination to obey God, gave him that righteous standing so that he could pray a powerful prayer. Praise God. Amen. So we all have been guilty of this. But many times we don't think to pray that much until we get into trouble. And then we get in trouble. And then we're crying out to God and we're lifting up prayers unto the Lord. But I don't want to pray that prayer. I don't want to be on that in that position. I want to be walking with the Lord in obedience to the Lord with a mind that's made up to do God's will, to obey the Lord, no matter what the world does. A mind that is made up to serve the Lord, positioned him to be able to pray a powerful prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Make up your mind today, no matter what, I am going to serve God. I don't care what everybody else does. It makes no difference the direction of the world or what everyone else is doing. I'm going to make up my mind to serve the Lord. That gave to Daniel a confidence in prayer. You see, if you're walking in disobedience, if you're rejecting God's will for your life, then you're going to live under the cloud, knowing that you are not in good standing with God. So when you get in trouble, you're going to know, oh, I'm not really walking with God. I'm not really in that position where I can really get a hold of God. But what a wonderful thing it is to walk with God, to walk in obedience to God, so that when you face the crisis of your life, that you're going to be on good ground, good standing as a righteous man or woman of God to be able to cry out to the Lord. Amen. Amen. We can pray like Daniel prayed, with confidence. We can pray with conviction and live our life in such a way as to position ourselves to be able to pray righteous prayers. Praise God. We are in some real crisis times in our world right now. I think that prayer is on an upward trajectory right now. I think a lot of people who haven't prayed are praying. I think that some people who haven't really considered much about God, they're thinking about it right now. They're considering it. Some are looking to God like never before. And that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. If the crisis drives you to the Lord and causes you to cry out to the Lord, then that's a wonderful thing. What's most important is the church positions ourselves. We are committed ourselves to God no matter what we face, that we're going to serve God and we're going to walk in obedience to the Lord just like Daniel did. Praise God. Amen. Are you willing to make that kind of a commitment? I'm telling you, when you read about this and when you consider the fact that Daniel was just a kid, really, maybe 16 or 17 years old, and it's hard to imagine that he could have that strength of character, that determination to do what's right in a foreign country with all the pressures around him, and when it would have been so much easier just to cave in a little bit, to give in a little bit, it would have been so much easier to follow that way. But instead, he said, I am purposing in my heart to serve God. Amen. To do it God's way. Amen. So that's one thing as far as Daniel's character. Then I want to look at another thing here, and it's in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. You remember the story here in Daniel chapter 2 that there is Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. He calls in all of his soothsayers and all of his interpreters of dreams, and this was a common practice for them to do that. But this time Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, I can't remember what the dream is. I don't know what I dreamed. So I need you to tell me what I dreamed and the interpretation of the dream. Wow. Wow. They're all, you know, completely overwhelmed by the challenge that has been brought to them. They don't know what to do, but we know that Daniel looked to the Lord, that he called out to the Lord. It says in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So I see in that verse one of the character qualities of Daniel is that as he did not, he didn't take the credit for it, but he glorified God in the situation. He glorified God. He never took the credit for anything that happened. It would have been easy for him to do that day because God gave to him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And he is going to be elevated to a position of blessing and honor, and all this is coming his way. But instead of that, he turns all the glory to God. All the glory to the Lord. This is really a wonderful expression of Daniel's humility. He was humble before the Lord. He recognized that it was God. It's not about me, it's about him. He's the one that has done this. He's the one that has provided the answers. Pride says, I get all the credit. Humility says, God is the one who is deserving of all of the honor and the glory. And that was Daniel. So you see in him this amazing character. Number one, his character was a determination to do God's will, to do it God's way. And number two, whenever God moved and used him, instead of accepting the glory, he just blessed God. He gave the glory to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want to position yourself to hear from God? You want to position yourself to be able to pray with power? Then humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Admit the fact that you, in your own ability and strength, you are weak and incapable. But whenever you give the glory to God, then God will show himself strong. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He receives the humble. He blesses and meets the needs of the humble that are before him. And that's the kind of spirit and attitude that Daniel had. Amen. And from that position, he was able to pray with power, pray effective prayers, because he prayed with a commitment to God and he prayed with a humility before the Lord. Amen. Praise God. What an amazing man that Daniel was, that God used him in such a wonderful way to be able to influence a nation and to have an effect upon a pagan king who could easily have taken his life. A king like Nebuchadnezzar could have easily one wrong word in his presence, and his life would have been taken. He knew that he was in a very vulnerable place, and it would be much more difficult to speak the truth there, knowing that he might lose his life. But he had a confidence in God and an assurance that he could move forward, and he wasn't fearful of men. He didn't fear man, but he feared God. Amen. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. This is the story of when Nebuchadnezzar was so lifted up in his pride that God is bringing judgment upon him. You know the story that he spent those months, I think it was 9 months, like a wild animal. And the judgment of God upon his pride, bringing him down and humbling him. Daniel stood before Nebuchadnezzar this time and did not fear the king, but did not fear man, but he feared the Lord. Daniel 4 and 25, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, those words spoken to Nebuchadnezzar were powerful words to tell him, I'm not afraid of you, I'm afraid of God, and so I'm going to tell you the truth, Nebuchadnezzar. Your pride is going to bring you down, and you're going to live like a beast out in the wilderness. And I want you to know that it's God that has the power to set rulers in position or to remove them from position. And so what a humbling experience it was for Nebuchadnezzar, and what great courage that Daniel had to have to speak the truth to the king. Amen. Proverbs 28 says, the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. When we have an unshakable confidence in God, then God can use us to speak the truth. I don't know where we are in as far as these last days. I just know that we're moving very swiftly at a swift pace toward the end of this age. And it's going to be more and more important that we be a people that know how to get a hold of God, and that we have a courage and a confidence that we're not going to fall under the pressures of these times, but we're going to be confident to stand for the truth of God's word. Amen. I know you've heard the term that's being used a lot lately, the cancel culture, that this is a generation that wants to remove not only our history, but they would like to remove what we believe about God's word. They want to remove everything that is truth and righteousness and godly. This is a generation that wants to remove all of those things. But our call of God is to be like a Daniel and stand strong and confident without fear of men in a generation that hates God and hates the things of God, and understand that God's got this all under control, and that God can work and he will work if we'll put our confidence and our trust in the Lord. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God is the sovereign one? He is the sovereign one. We look at what's happening in politics today, and far as I'm concerned, it's just a huge mess. It's just a huge confusion that's in the political world today. And we need God to intervene. We need God to intervene. We're going to have to be willing to admit that politicians can't do it. They cannot do it. And don't put your confidence in a politician. Put your confidence in God's word and the promise of God. And the real hope of this nation is not in a political party. It's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that is willing to stand confident. Amen. And we can pray with power like Daniel did. Amen. That our prayers are going to hit the target. They're going to be powerful. They're going to be effective because we're praying from that position of confidence in God and trusting him and knowing that he's the sovereign one. He's in control of all those things, these things that are happening. And our confidence is not shakable. Praise the Lord. Amen. So many wonderful things about the life of Daniel. His prayer life could not be shaken. As a matter of fact, the only thing that when they're looking for a way to accuse him, they can find nothing wrong with his character. So they have to initiate a new law so that they can find one that he breaks. That sounds kind of up to date, doesn't it? Developing new laws to try to catch him in the trap of what he would do every day of his life. And that is call on God and worship God. Praise the Lord. And he did it with faith and confidence in God's word, because he would always do it with the window open toward Jerusalem, which simply meant that I'm praying to the God that I was introduced to in my homeland. I'm praying to that God with the faith and the confidence that one day, very soon, we're going to be leaving this captivity and we're going to be going back to that wonderful homeland. Amen. So he prayed with his window open toward Jerusalem all the time, every day, three times a day. And he was consistent, and his prayers were powerful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Darius was caught in the trap of his own pride and his own words. And you know the story, how Daniel finally winds up in a den of lions. Darius doesn't want to put him there. He has all the confidence in Daniel. He's caught in the trap of his own pride and has to throw him into that den of lions. But Darius, now, you know that Darius, the Bible says that he put him in the lion's den and then he spent the night fasting. Some folks, that's about all the fasting we get in. We just spend the night fasting. We just go to bed and don't eat no more until we get up in the morning. That's what Darius did. He spent his night fasting. Amen. Well, we know that God delivered Daniel from that den of lions. And all of the things that Daniel faced, he was able to come out of every one of those circumstances because he was a man who had power with God and he could pray powerful prayers. Amen. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be praying prayers that do not have power. I want to pray from a position of righteousness, character, and a confidence in God's word, and a complete assurance that God is at work in these days. Amen. I listened to a preacher the other day. I think I mentioned this Wednesday night. A preacher down in Georgia who's calling his church to 21 days of prayer and fasting for the country in the month of August. I think that God is stirring up a lot of people across this nation to seek the Lord and to pray. And the only hope of this nation is for the people of God, the believers, the Daniels of this generation, to stand up before God and to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's for that reason we've called the church to prayer on Sunday night and Monday. And I believe that God is moving. God is answering prayer. He is speaking and working. And I'm confident that if we'll take hold of the promises of God and we continue to seek the Lord with our whole heart, God's going to give us answers and a move of God. And God's going to show his mighty hand in behalf of his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That's the kind of prayers that Daniel prayed. And he prayed powerfully. And his prayers were answered. As a matter of fact, there in Daniel chapter 9, in that prayer for Israel, he prayed for the nation, even though he was a righteous man, a godly man, a man of godly character, he still prayed the prayer of repentance. And we need to pray a prayer of repentance for the whole nation. The whole nation that has rejected God. We need to pray the prayers that many are not willing to pray. That God would forgive our nation for the direction that we have taken that's further and further away from the Lord. So this was a prayer of repentance, but it was also a prayer, as Brother Bowman brought out in the Sunday school class, it was also a prayer where he claimed the promise of God. He claimed it. He said, I read it in the book. I read it in the book of Jeremiah that 70 years was going to be the length of time that we're in captivity. And now Daniel is an old man, and he knows that that time is just about up. And so now he's praying a prayer of repentance and a prayer of deliverance. Deliver us from this captivity and let us go back to our homeland. So yeah, we need to pray a prayer of repentance for America, but we also need to pray a prayer of deliverance. Lord, you have promised in the last days you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. You have promised, Lord, in your word that you would send an outpouring, a latter rain that would fall upon your people. We need to pray the prayer of repentance and the prayer of deliverance,
that God would use, just like he used little old Daniel, that he would use you and me. You may think you're insignificant, but you're not. Your prayers are heard and known in heaven. If you are praying prayers like Daniel, then you have the full attention of all of heaven. Hallelujah. So let's believe God, let's pray together, and let's trust the Lord to move mightily. Amen. Do you understand with me today that no matter what happens in November elections, God can still move? If he can move in a place like Babylon and show himself strong for a Daniel, he can move for us no matter what direction the nation takes. Amen. We can call upon the Lord. Do you want to pray like Daniel? Oh, I do. And I need to see a people of God joining with me in this prayer effort. Would you stand with me today? Lord, thank you for the example of this young man, Daniel, who spent his life in a foreign country, in a pagan country. But yet, Lord, you so positioned him that in every crucial step, every major thing as far as the direction of the nation, Lord, you elevated him to that place of prominence. And even when the Persians came in and defeated the Babylonians, once again, Lord, you honored Daniel and lifted him up and positioned him in that new kingdom. And Lord, I know that no matter what we face in the United States of America, no matter what the circumstances are in the coming weeks and months, Lord, we have a full assurance that you are the sovereign God that's in control. And if we call upon your name, you will hear the prayers of the righteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus.